from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, we'll talk with Alliance Defending Freedom President Mike Ferris about new attempts to go after Jack Phillips and his bakery. Also, Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley joins us to talk about the censoring of conservatives on social media platforms. And later on, political science professor Dr. Daniel Mark talks about shared common ground in the fight for religious freedom. But first, on Monday of this week, FRC President Tony Perkins was joined by the House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California to talk about the rising concerns surrounding social media giants like Facebook and Twitter.
Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, thank you for having me on again. I sure appreciate all that you do for our country.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the fact that you're drawing attention to what is becoming an increasingly, I think, a threat to the dialogue, the conversation that Americans are having about important policy decisions, but also just the general direction of our country. And I think you're recognizing that along with many of your colleagues.
Well, I'll tell you, I got on this, and I'm from California, so I'm a little maybe more in tune. You know what social media is able to do? Social media is a wonderful thing, but it also allows ISIS to recruit. But what's happening here is, we're finding these companies, and you just had this week where Jack Dorsey with Twitter, he acknowledged, he says, we're more liberal. This is a guy who apologized for eating at Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Okay. And so there's some real concerns because how people acquire their news and information today, and it's kind of a freedom of expression. But let me give you a couple quick examples. If you had Googled the California Republican Party 2 weeks before our primary election, you know what they said our ideology was? It wasn't the party of Lincoln or the party of Reagan. It was Nazism.
Mm.
And think about what Amazon has done. So many of us buy on Amazon. But what is it called, that Amazon smile where you can
right.
pick a nonprofit to send? Look what they did for the Alliance of Defending Our Freedom.
Right.
And they allowed Southern Poverty to say that they could no longer, or Amazon should no longer give them money, and they're defending our religious freedom. Think about what the case they just won from Colorado, the baker, 7-2.
Now, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, you mentioned Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter. He is slated to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee first week in September to discuss the Russian election interference. I think also we can have Facebook and Google executives there as well. Do we foresee him making an appearance before the House to talk about some of these issues?
We have had an invitation of him. I believe he's going to give us a decision here very shortly, but I believe at the end of the day he'll be there. And I'm going to give, now, philosophically, I disagree with Jack, but the one thing I have found with Twitter, they're more open. And I think it would be a very good hearing to sit down and talk about these algorithms and others.
Well, I guess we see this in the world that in which we live increasingly, where, you know, we're fine with open discussion, debate even, because we feel very strongly and passionately about our ideology and that the facts that we hold back it up. The left, apparently not so much so, because some of the stuff they're reaching for is indefensible, so they just want to shut down the discussion. They want to eliminate conservative voices, and I think that's what the president is drawing attention to, because, quite frankly, this administration working with conservatives in Congress have accomplished quite a bit in the last 2 years leading into this midterm election. And I don't think we can count on the media to be talking about those positives that are going to be encouraging to conservatives.
Well, day after day, Tony, you see that. Think about this. In the last 49 years in America, unemployment has only been below 4% 8 months in those 49 years. And 3 of those 8 months happened this year. I mean, it's unbelievable economic growth. But would you, day after day, you get these reports. I mean, the billions of dollars saved because of the tax cut, the amount of economic growth we have found for in every category of who you are as an American, They don't talk about that. It's always some other controversy that's coming up. Or think about this. When it comes to the VA, the GI Bill is no longer 15 years or you lose it. It's now a lifetime. You know, you got the Choice Act out there. Look what we did about combating human trafficking, modern-day slavery. Right. You know it right. so well. We're 100,000 kids. And every year, 70% of that happens because of the Internet. With the bill that we passed this year, and I was in the Oval Office with the president when he signed it, No Survivors, Backpage, one of the worst sites possible, is now shut down and they're being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. One of those people just pleaded guilty the other day, Craigslist, others. And what they were able to do now, one DA told Ann Wagner that like 82% of those sites are now gone. But we're not talking about those successes or what we did to combat opioids, the largest that any Congress has been able to do about that. We've got some really good successes here. And the thing that I always say when I see this, I just want people to stop the bias. Do not have bias and put your personal philosophical beliefs. And I'm arguing for somebody on the other side. They can argue against me philosophically. Yes, let them go up in their feed on Facebook of what they believe or not. Let's right. have a debate about the power of the ideas. But don't shut mine down because you disagree with me.
Well, we have to be civil in our conversation. Yes. But just because yes. you hold a view that's different than someone else does not reach a level of you being silenced because exactly. someone disagrees with you. Kevin McCarthy, out of time. Thanks so much for joining
you.
Us. As always, great to talk with you. Kevin McCarthy, House Majority Leader. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, he mentioned Alliance Defending Freedom. Well, the CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom, President Mike Ferris, is here to talk about the latest with Jack Phillips. He's the Colorado baker. His case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and by a 7-2 ruling, the court slapped down the state of Colorado. But guess what? They didn't get the message. They're going after Jack Phillips again. Mike Ferris is here to explain. Don't go away.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting for your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. And now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendars for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st through the 23rd in Washington, D.C. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me remind you, coming up September the 21st through the 23rd, the Values Voters Summit in Washington, D.C. You do not want to miss this. Go to TonyPerkins.com or just go to valuesvotersummit.org. All right, despite winning his Supreme Court case, the state of Colorado is going after baker and cake artist Jack Phillips again for simply living out his faith in the workplace. The same day that the U.S. Supreme Court granted a review in the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, an attorney in Colorado called Phillips' shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop, and requested a custom cake with a blue exterior and pink interior to celebrate a gender transition from male to female. Right? Okay. Look, they're targeting these Christians. This was intentional. So he said, no, we can't do that. And so they went to the Civil Rights Commission. And they're after Jack Phillips again. With us now is Mike Ferris, President, CEO, and General Counsel of Alliance Defending Freedom, who has been and is representing Jack. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
Well, we were together a few weeks ago at an event related to the ministerial in Washington, D.C., the advancement of religious freedom. Of course, Alliance Defending Freedom doing great work both domestically and internationally as it pertains to religious freedom. And that's what this case is all about, targeting someone because of their faith.
It truly is. Unlike the first case where a legitimate customer walked through the door, this was a setup by a lawyer deliberately seeking to punish Jack for his faith. He didn't like the fact the Supreme Court was taking the case, and so he tried to set him up again. One of the good features of this, however, from our perspective, is that there is no doubt that there's a message involved here. And so some of the questions have been whether or not there's a message communicated by Cakes. Well, when you are communicating a transition, so-called transition from the way God created to the way you perceive yourself, that is a clear message and a clear First Amendment right, clear free speech issues. And we're just not going to take this line down. So we're going after the commission for their improper targeting of Jack Phillips.
Now, Mike Ferris, the commission, I mean, they just got slapped down by the Supreme Court. They didn't have to take this complaint. They could have said, there's nothing here.
That's right. They could have said that the Supreme Court's decided the issue. They could have decided that this man is not a legitimate customer. They had lots of options to them to avoid this, but they didn't want to avoid it. Instead, they're looking for the opportunity to crush Jack Phillips. They don't take no for an answer, and Supreme Court notwithstanding.
Now, step back for just a moment from this one particular case and explain to our listeners why this issue of being able to, for Jack Phillips in this case, or maybe it could be a florist, a photographer, or anyone for that matter, being able to live out their faith, why that is so important to each and every Christian living in this country and literally beyond the borders of this country.
Well, if a person can't own a business, can't practice law, can't perform marriages, can't do a lot of things without accepting the viewpoint that marriages are to be celebrated, That's a phrase that you'll hear a lot when you talk to LGBT activists. In fact, at the ministerial where we were at, that was one of the phrases that was used, is we want to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. And if coerced celebrations are the standard by which we're all going to be measured, a lot of us are going to be out of public life. We won't be able to earn a living. Law licenses are on the line. Other kinds of business licenses are on the line. And if that's the status, we are all in deep trouble. We need to be able to stand with God and not lose our ability to be citizens.
Well, Mike Ferris, let me just say, I, for one, and I know there's a lot of other Christians, millions of Christians around this country and around the world that are thankful for the work that you and Alliance Defending Freedom are doing. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Terry. God bless.
To find out more about Mike Ferris and the Alliance Defending Freedom, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Who is Generation Z? What is their worldview? How can we lead them? Understanding Gen Z is critical if we want to serve, influence, and equip this next generation. The majority of these young people are still heavily influenced by parents, friends, teachers, and churches, and it is important that we direct them to a biblical worldview. For more information and to learn more about Gen Z, visit frc.org/events.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As more evidence surfaces that social media platforms are censoring conservative users, some are pushing back against the likes of Facebook and Twitter, not only for their censorship, but how they share personal data and information. Joining Tony to talk about it is Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley.
Attorney Hawley, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk. I want to get your thoughts on Judge Kavanaugh, but before I do that, are you pleased to see that Congress is now stepping up and challenging the big tech companies, these social media platform giants?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it better late than never. But there's a lot to do here, Tony. There's a lot that we need to know. And this is why I launched an investigation into both Google and Facebook. I think I'm the only attorney general or law enforcement agent of any kind in this country investigating the two of them for their use of consumers' data. I want to know, what are they taking from us? I mean, what exactly is it? Our private, personal, confidential information. What are they gathering? How are they using it? Who are they giving it to? I also want to know if they're discriminating against the conservative viewpoints. You know, are they engaging in mm-hmm. viewpoint discrimination, as we say in the law? And there's a lot of reports out there, Tony, that you know. I mean, for instance, going back to 2016, the reports that Google was pushing to its users through its search engine pro-Hillary news stories, disfavoring President Trump's campaign, disfavoring other conservatives. We need to know if that's true or not and how these big companies are using their market share.
Well, Josh, I mean, as I've seen this unfold, and we've long been concerned about this, you know, virtual monopoly that they have and how they've been using this data, but most concerned about how they have been choking down the conversation of conservatives. As I've seen it unfold, I have to believe that by you stepping out there first and being willing to take on what people thought were impenetrable, that you just couldn't take on these giants, that, you know, Congress saw that, hey, we can do something. And in fact, we had the majority leader on yesterday, Kevin McCarthy. There, I think there's more to come when it comes to Congress dealing with these social media giants.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, they deserve to be scrutinized. They are the most powerful companies in the world, maybe the most powerful in the history of the world, Tony, just in terms, when you think about how much personal information they have on everybody who uses their platforms. And really, who these days does not cross paths with Google or with Facebook or some of these other tech giants, but those two in particular, I mean, they touch the lives of almost every single American, and they need to be held accountable. I've always said I'm all for the free market, but I'm not for fraud. I'm all for the free market, but I'm not for monopoly. And I haven't prejudged the results of my investigation, but I do want the facts, and we're going to keep pressing to get them.
Attorney General Josh Hawley, on Tuesdays, we have what we call Constitution Tuesday. I know you heard the setup for that as we come in. But with the selection of yet another Supreme Court Justice, Brett Kavanaugh, by President Donald Trump, we see this as an opportunity as this process unfolds to truly educate people on our system of government, the Constitution, the three branches, the judicial branch, all of those things which, you know, really aren't taught much in our schools anymore. And I want to get a couple of thoughts from you. First, I want to there's this push to try to say that faith must be left at the doors, you know, especially evangelical Christian faith. You have actually been a part of some of the recent Watchmen on the Wall pastors events that we've done, FRC has done in the state of Missouri. You've spoken there, open about your faith. That move toward the left to interrogate, to suggest that somehow you must hide your faith or leave it at the door of government service runs straight up against what the Constitution has to say.
You know, absolutely, Tony, and I'd go even a step further. I think the right to religious liberty, the right to conscience, the right to respond to the call of God on your life is at the core of all of our rights as Americans. And the reason for this is these rights, the right to religious liberty, draws a line that says to government, you may not cross over this. You can't tell us what to think. You can't tell us who we can gather with. You can't tell us what to believe and how to act. I mean, all government can do is it can say, look, you have to follow your beliefs peacefully, and you can't force them on other people. But beyond that, our Constitution protects the right of every American to follow their conscience, to respond to God's call in their lives as they feel called. And it's a wonderful, noble tradition that has given us the freedom-loving, pluralistic country that we have. And it's a tradition and a set of guarantees in the Constitution worth fighting for.
Attorney General Josh Hawley, before we run out of time here, if you were sitting down with the president's selection for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, what two questions would be at the top of your list?
I'd like to know from him what sources he would consult in deciding difficult questions of the constitutional interpretation. What's he going to look to? And what I would hope to hear from him is, I'm going to look to the text of the Constitution first. I'm going to look to its structure. And I'm going to look to its history. because what that would tell me is he believes in the Constitution the way the people wrote it, that he believes that it is the people's words, not the will of judges, not the will of bureaucrats, not the will of the media, that ought to prevail. And I would want to know, secondly, is he willing to be tough? Is he willing to stand up? And even if it's unpopular, even if the media and the New York Times doesn't like it, is he willing to rule the way he thinks the Constitution commands rather than the way that elite public opinion wants?
Two excellent questions, in my opinion. Josh Hawley, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
To find out more about Attorney General Hawley, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
First, Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. Now, Christian adoption providers are being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. This is why laws are needed to protect faith-based adoption agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In this segment, we're talking about religious freedom, and one key question is, how can people of different worldviews and faiths find common ground to combat religious persecution around the globe? Joining FRC President Tony Perkins is Dr. Daniel Mark, former chairman of the U.S. Commission on Religious Freedom, who comes to the religious freedom issue from the Jewish perspective.
Dr. Daniel Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's great to talk to you.
You served on the commission during the last term of Barack Obama. The last year, you were the chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. And so I want to ask you this question. Is there a difference between how the Trump administration and the Obama administration addressed religious freedom?
Oh, there's a huge difference. As you said, it's both on the domestic and the international front. On the commission, as you know, for your service there, we deal strictly with the international stuff, and so that's what I saw most directly there. But there was a huge difference. The Obama administration really downgraded religious freedom as a priority in foreign policy. There were other issues that our ambassadors and embassies around the world were pushing with enormous force, and religious freedom really got short shrift. It's completely different. You know, we fought tooth and nail with so many other groups by our side to get the Obama administration to recognize what was going on in the Middle East under ISIS as a genocide, just to use the G word, and both President Trump and Vice President Pence have used that word and insisted that that is the policy of the administration. They have taken tremendous steps to make sure that funding is actually reaching the vulnerable communities and not going through the UN where it gets lost. And we could go on and on about concrete things that this administration has done to prioritize religious freedom in a way that the previous administration did not, internationally and then domestically as well, of course.
And just for the benefit of our listeners, kind of a timeline, as you mentioned, the genocide in Iraq and Syria. In March of 2015, the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights made the statement that what's happening here is genocide. A year later, March 2016, the United States House of Representatives voted unanimously declaring what was happening there to the Yazidis, the Christians, and some other Muslim minorities was, in fact, genocide. After that, finally, we saw the Secretary of State John Kerry declare that the violence in this initiated by ISIS was, in fact, genocide. So it took the administration a long time. And I guess the reason I bring that up, Danielle, is because in the editorial, they say, well, the Obama administration addressed the issue of religious freedom. He made a point of reaching out to the Muslim world and as well as to other faiths. But on his watch, there was genocide.
Yeah, it was, I mean, frankly, it was an idiotic and disgusting editorial, and not just because of the cheap shot at you. It was, it on the facts, it seems to be gravely mistaken, but also the judgment. It's almost as if they can't bear to admit that the Trump administration is actually doing something good and that they can't disagree with. You know, and one doesn't have to be a big defender of President Trump and his administration to recognize that the leadership that they've shown on this issue has been really important, even momentous. I mean, the article doesn't bother to mention, the editorial doesn't bother to mention that this was Secretary Pompeo's first ministerial of any kind, that he chose this topic. It doesn't bother to mention that it's the first ministerial ever on religious freedom. And it's really sad. It's almost, not to psychoanalyze the editorial board, but it's almost if they can't bear to admit that evangelicals deserve credit in this country for being at the forefront of caring for people of all faiths around the world. I mean, the charity work, of course, that evangelical missions do around the world is well known and really probably second to none, I would imagine. But also just the way that this is a real live political issue for evangelical Christians around the world who care about this, who make sure their elected representatives care about this and fight for this. And, you know, the liberals should care about these things no less. It is a sacred right that we hold as Americans, as believers or not. They're probably embarrassed, I would imagine, that they're very late to the party in terms of caring about these kinds of things. So instead, they twist it around and say there's really a secret agenda to promote evangelical Christianity at the expense of others, which, having done it myself, as you said, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I did it for 4 years from inside the belly of the beast in Washington, D.C., and there's nothing of the sort going on.
Well, Dr. Mark, you answered my other question. That is, as a Jewish American, are you intimidated or concerned about the concern evangelicals have for religious freedom?
No, it's a great thing. If more people shared the views of evangelicals, the world would be a better place. There are so many good Christians in America who completely selflessly, they have nothing to gain but care about joining a Muslim.
Danielle, we got to leave it there. We're out of time.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.